Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 51 on February 13th, 2020. On this episode, Christine and Phil Jensen from Poborian are here to talk about the Cake Professionals, their conference and award show specifically designed to inspire and empower those in the business of selling cakes on a regular basis. So whether you're elbow deep in cake and icing and looking for folks who understand your particular needs, a hobby baker who has always wanted to go pro but doesn't know where to start, or even if you're at the gym blasting out a treadmill run before you head back to the bakery for another day of making wedding dreams come true, let's get this show started to inspire and educate you on your sugar arts journey. Joining me now from Penzance are Christine and Phil Jensen from Poborian, the Cake Professionals, and their appearances on Extreme Cake Makers.
Yay!
Hello, hey. Welcome. How are you guys doing?
Thanks for calling.
You've got this the Cake Professionals thing coming up.
So we are all systems go, I think, at the moment with the Cake Professionals. It's definitely keeping us busy. Nothing like starting a second business to keep you occupied.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty full on. But I mean, the idea came really early in our sort of experience of starting a cake business, was just to have a place for cake makers to connect and get business expertise, because
we connect as human beings.
Yeah. So it's about community, but it's also about, you know, it's about business skills as well, because we realized that we were seeing a lot of cake businesses open up around us and then close very quickly afterwards.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because of their piping skills or their
perfect
peonies.
Yeah, but it just actually making a cake business work takes some business savvy. And we had lots of questions and nowhere to go with them. And so it kind of brewed, I think, from the first couple of years of starting our cake business.
I've never started a business or anything like that before, and that sense of lostness and going online and googling how on earth, which way is up, you know, all of that sort of
and
stuff,
and finding 17 different answers from different cake makers
saying opposite
things.
It was just like,
opposite,
come on, like, who's the expert, and where can I get advice that's not going to mean that I've just thrown £300 down the toilet or £3,000 down the toilet. You know, it's and I think that's the hard truth of business. Should I advertise in my local paper? Should I go to the wedding fair? Should I rebrand? All those things are the guts of a business. So making the cake, that's the start. And that, we absolutely need to know how to do that. But it's the business end, it's the making the business that we just felt a little bit lost. And so basically, because we fell down a whole lot of holes, spent a whole lot of money that we shouldn't have, we thought somebody should be doing something about this, surely. And then we waited and waited and waited. And we were like, no, okay. So if somebody might need to be us. So essentially, it's just a selfish.
And I think that's where, you know, the Extreme Cake Makers Show has really helped, in that it's given us a reasonable profile in the world of cake in the UK, so that we can, you know, organise something and gather people. And that's been one of the good things that's come out of the telly stuff.
Yeah, because neither of us are folks that are hungry for TV fame. I think the fact that we started a business in Penzance, of all places, which is literally like the end of the world. We're 8 miles from Land's End. So, you know, to start a luxury cake business at the end of the UK was a tiny bit nuts. But it is the life that we have. And so we needed to make that work. So when TV came along, it was a vehicle to, well, we thought at the time, to really sales. Because if people know that you're there, then they're able to come get you. But I think that was a much slower process than we thought.
I think it'd be very different. So the show has, you know, or had, it stopped filming now, but there was 8 or 9 different cake makers on it. And I think if it was just one cake maker, then
the benefit would be huge.
Yeah.
But when there's 9 of you, you're just part of a kind of an ensemble cast. And so, yeah, we found it made a bit of a difference to the business, but not you know.
But not until series three.
Well, I mean, and even then, you know, there might be 20% of orders coming in have some sort of, you know, they saw us on the telly, but it's not like, I mean, we thought it was going to like triple the business and it'll be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. We'd be hiring staff left, right, and center. Yeah. Not so much. But our main business in terms of caking is still weddings and birthdays, mostly weddings, I would say sort of 70%,
yeah,
probably 70-80% weddings. And they can be across the Southwest, but also into London as well, because we've needed to have a bit of a strategy, given that we live in Penzance.
We deliver to Edinburgh and to Norfolk and New York and Toronto.
Wales.
Wait, did you say Toronto?
yeah. Toronto was fun last year.
That's...
We went and did a food network thing.
Oh, okay. Because that's where I grew up, just outside of Toronto, and I'm extremely aware of how far away that is from now that I live in England.
Very long way away.
Yeah.
I spent a student winter in Toronto doing on placement in a hospital in Ontario, London, Ontario. That was way back when. So I do love Canada. I love it. I think it's got a great attitude to life, the universe and everything. So,
yeah, I'm down with that. I like it here too, but yeah, I mean, it's always home for me. But yeah, I mean, when we came to Cambridge, first of all, we came by Texas. My Aussie husband and I were living in Texas with our children, and we came here. It was supposed to be temporary. And within 3 weeks of living in Cambridge, I was borrowing the line from the John Denver song, coming home to a place you've never been before, because Cambridge, it's not like Canada, but it's a lot more like Canada than Texas.
Texas is another planet.
So, yeah, I miss Canada, but I do love being here, too. So it's lovely. And I've been to Penzance. It was our second vacation here. We went all the way down to the Lizard Point, so I've been right on that far down as you can go in England. But we had to go to Penzance because my now 14-year-old is obsessed with Gilbert and Sullivan.
Ah, well, yeah. So we had the Guinness World Record for how many pirates can you get in one place at one time in Penzance a couple of years ago. That was quite a day. Yes, I've never seen so many pirates before.
24,000 of them.
24,000 pirates.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's part of what I like on your website, how I love the wording you use on so many things, but where you say that you are improbably located in both Penzance and London. I just love that.
Yes, it is. There are times where we look at our life and we think, how on earth did this happen? But I think that's just life, isn't it? Life's full of surprises. And if it wasn't, it'd be boring.
Well, it's been an amazing. I mean, we Christine started the business 6 years ago, so it's been quite a crazy ride, really, from there to where we are now, and all the things that are going along. It's been, you know, the world of cake is like no other. I think I've had lots of careers, but this is definitely the most interesting. The parties that you get invited to, people you get to meet. It's quite extraordinary, the hours that you have to work.
Well, that's part of why the podcast exists. I have these things called cake formations that I put in to break up the interviews, and a lot of them are along the lines are, is it 2 o'clock in the morning for you? Are you in the middle of putting dragees on a cake? Do you hate cake right now? Well, remember, we're all with you, because I kind of envision, I don't know who's listening at what time, but I kind of envision there's probably someone who hates what they're working on right now, and it's due tomorrow.
I think there's a phase of every single cake,
yes,
where you kind of hate it a little bit, and then you bring it back round. Although last week, I would say it's the smoothest cake bake and delivery that we've ever had. We were in bed by 10 every night. It was all just tickety-boo. We were ready 3 hours before we had to leave. It was just lovely.
And it was a huge cake.
That was not a tiddler. Not a tiddler at all. Hope is on the horizon.
in the middle of a big project right now? Are you at that dreaded point halfway along where everything looks all weird and the faces aren't quite human and the animals look like the wrong species? Or you haven't covered up the seams or there's some other part that, because it's not done yet, just looks wrong? Are you exhausted and asking yourself why? Why are you even engaged in this art form? Because you just want to go do something else, but this project is making you hate sugar? Well, remember, we've all been there. Everyone in this industry has been where you are right now, and we will all be there again. The midpoint of any project stinks. You've put in so much time and so much work, but still have so far to go, and there are a dozen other things you'd rather do right now. We all understand. But come on now. We also know how awesome you're going to feel at the end of this thing. Whatever you're making is going to be amazing. You are going to put that last piece on and stand back and be so happy with what you've accomplished. Because yeah, it's hard, but that's what makes it worthwhile in the end. So take a break if you need to, but keep on going because you rock. You are awesome. You are an artist, and this is your latest masterpiece. Woohoo! You go! You do it! You keep slogging through it, and we are all cheering you on. Yeah!
Contrasted to the story you told on stage at CI about, wasn't there jam in the wrong place? And I can't remember all the details. I was sitting in the audience listening, but you were, to get to CI, because you had, didn't you leave something in the wrong place? A curd or something?
Oh, we left we left the curd.
That's what it was.
We left the bake and the curd. I don't know. It was oh my goodness. Yeah. This year was a bit mad.
Well, we did the Elvis sculpture for right. Cake Stuff. And then we had the cake professional stand, which Christine was on. And then
which had to be redeveloped 2 weeks beforehand entirely.
Oh. Yeah.
Which was a bit
exciting. And then I was on the fractal stand doing
a Monet
painting for 3 days. So it was just, I seem to remember getting spat out the other end of CI, feeling like I've been kidnapped into a lovely
cake world.
But
exactly.
It wasn't quite your world.
Yeah, it was. And the demos as well. Then,
So
it was pretty full on this one. But hopefully, we won't have another CI experience like that.
I think we might tone it down a little bit.
Yeah,
but you know, I guess that's a reflection of us simultaneously, you know, running the cake business and then running the cake professionals as well at the same time.
It's been spinning plates this year for sure.
But worthwhile.
Absolutely, and I think the thing that keeps us going in the middle of the, unending lists of to-dos is just that it feels like it's really meeting a need. And just knowing that people are really excited for the conference ahead and also the awards, it just makes it worthwhile. And so we're pretty excited seeing the list of speakers that we've got coming and the people that are going to be on the panel. We're tackling pricing this year on the afternoon panel. So we have industry experts from the cake industry talking about pricing, because I think that it's a conversation that comes up so much for people who are making cake to sell. And to just have confidence in that, I think, for ourselves was a real turning point for our business, just to be able to really understand the mechanics and also have the confidence to say the numbers out loud without flinching.
And I think every cake maker goes through that process of, you know, you start your business and you were making it for friends and family, and you were either just getting costs or you're maybe charging very, very little, and then all of a sudden it's a business, and actually you need to not only charge for your ingredients but your time, and you know, to have the confidence to actually say the number as it should be, as opposed to what you think they might accept,
and I think that's doubly true when what you're doing is not necessarily your full-time occupation, or it is your full-time occupation but you're also juggling life and family, and or you've got a a coffee shop, but the cakes are in addition. So there's all sort of complexities of different shapes that business take, but still just having the confidence to know your numbers and say them out loud. And if somebody says no, then that's okay, because they're not your people. Because you need to make the money that you're trying to make a living or add to your living expenses.
I think that's something that we're really passionate about. Actually, just seeing cake makers not get taken advantage of, which I think happens a lot, because, you know, obviously it's cake, which is a lovely thing, and therefore you should want to do it for free. Which, you know, that's a conversation we've had a number of, you know, charities, to be honest, are the worst. We're just calling up and just expecting you to drop, you know, literally hundreds of pounds of work on them for free, and then getting a bit shirty when you don't.
Yeah,
I mean, so the way that we handle that now is that because we get so many requests from charities saying, you know, can you provide the cake? Because we just choose one. We choose a charity, so it's not somebody who's come to us. We choose a charity, and then we make the biggest big ass cake for them we can. So we just go to town. And so this year's charity, I'm very excited about.
I know Phil is very too excited about it, to be honest.
Toilet twinning charity. So,
Toilet Twinning is an amazing charity, and you basically pay some money and to this organization, and they go and educate and provide clean sanitation for people in remote places, and as a result, they get to go to school. They get it just because of the hygiene issues, and they haven't got the health problems. And there's a safety aspects as well for women often.
Yep.
And so it's an extraordinary charity, but I think Phil is very excited about making a toilet cake. And I'm
chunky chocolate cake.
Of course, yes.
It's going to be amazing.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping it's going to be elegant and refined.
It could have flowers on the top. I mean,
it'll be worthwhile wherever it is. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think yeah. So what we do with the conference is it's kind of a blend of loads of time for people to connect with other cake makers and just sit and chat and learn and, you know, weep on each other's shoulders, cheer each other on, which is, you know, it's one of the things that I personally loved at Cake International was meeting other cake business owners.
Yeah.
But it was really hard to find them because there were so many hobby bakers there as well, which, you know, CI is amazing. I absolutely love it. But if you want to meet other cake businesses and just talk through the reality of, you know, how do you do this, and, you know, how do you handle, you know, complaints and, you know, anything like that, or how's it going? You know, people
landing sales,
yep. or just people who get what you do,
yeah,
and that you don't need to explain it is a lovely, lovely thing. So that's a big chunk of the conference. And then another chunk is the skills piece and just getting. And so what we're doing is we're getting in experts from outside of the world of cake mostly. So we want to sort of broaden our horizons.
The independent businesses and their specialities. So this year we've got a lawyer who speaks English, not just lawyery. And she's going to come along and talk to us about terms and conditions and how we can like have really good terms and conditions, so we don't get.
I think you were going to say shafted.
I think that's what I was going to say. Yes, I was, and I pulled back, and then you just went there.
No,
so anyway,
that's fine. You can say that.
Conditions that can protect us, and I think just having somebody that's their speciality, and they're coming in as a specialist to talk about their speciality, and then we've also got somebody coming in who's an expert in SEO, because everybody's looking for cake online, and if you can't be seen, you can't be found. If you can't be found, you can't be ordered from. So she's got some sweet skills when it comes to SEO.
So SEO is search engine
optimization. Sorry.
So it's basically how does Google choose who gets to the top of the page? And that's, as a business, that should be your biggest concern, because that's first and foremost. So people invariably just jump on the computer. I need a cake. I need a wedding cake. Whatever it is,
and they're not going to wait and, you know, sift through until page seven.
No,
they're going to type in cake maker, you know, Brentford or wherever it is, and then they're going to look at the first probably two or three businesses there, and so getting to the top of that page is a big deal.
You need to be above the fold, they call it. So if they have to scroll down, then that's below the fold, because like the old newspaper thing, you have to be above the fold if you want to be picked.
Absolutely.
So she's going to come and talk, and then a guy who speaks to huge corporations about sales and understanding people in order to land your sales, or what different kind of people are going to walk through your door and how do you handle them differently in order to land the sale. He's Tom Anser, and he's going to come bring that lovely guy, grounded and properly knowledgeable on the whole psychology of sales. That's just before 11:30. So we're excited about what people will take away with them, you know, the knowledge and the not just inspiration but the actual practical knowledge that will shape the businesses.
The keynote speaker is a lady called Dr. Virginia Betts, who started...
Although she wouldn't want to be called that, really. She'd just want to be called Ginny, but she is amazing.
Well, she can be called whatever she wants.
Yes, she can.
she is a stand-up paddleboarder, but only started... She started stand-up paddleboarding in her early 40s.
Yeah.
And within 4 years was ninth in the world. Just extraordinary person. She's a doctor, researcher for the council, a mum. So she knows all about plate spinning and she's going to be talking about building your brave. So, you know, stepping out and doing new things and
brave things. And also she stepped into a world of competition with other women, a small circle of competitive women, which has a mountain of interesting stories to come with that, as you may imagine.
Yes.
Some folk really welcomed her with open arms and others did not at all. And so it's the lessons from that about what it takes to be in community, to compete with other people, and to work in that space in a way that is good and healthy for your own well-being as well. So, she's got lots of wisdom to bring. And from a completely different... I think sometimes it's difficult to hear stories from the world of cake because we all have our own assumptions. And so we brought Ginny in because she can speak truth, but from a different... a slanted kind of angle, but still the same truth.
Well, I just think it's so important to get other voices speaking in outside of...
The cake bubble,
because we've all seen things done in the same kind of ways. We've all learned often in the same kind of ways as well. Mm. And so just to have people, like Ginny and like the speakers coming in who just, what they know is about, making things work in life and in business.
Yeah.
And those are totally transferable. And it's just really refreshing. I mean, what was interesting for me was after the last conference, the feedback that we got from people, the three words that kept on coming up were that there was just a sense of community and connection, inspiration. So a lot of people see it as saying that they really felt like they left with
cake mojo,
a bit of wind in their sails, and then just confidence. Yeah. And I think that's it's not something that we necessarily recognize in ourselves all the time, but actually there's just a huge issue around just self-confidence as a business person.
And I came across that a lot at Cake International because people were coming around with their families or their partners and they would say, I have this little, I have this little business, and the hubby or the partner is behind them saying, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. And they're going, no, I'm not. No, don't say that. And then you look on their phone of the pictures of the work that they're doing and you're like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
And they're just that sort of like, why as women particularly, why do we downplay our abilities? Why are we so scared of success? There's an awful lot of stuff there that I think we can happily speak to many therapists about for quite some time. but the quick route in is probably just being with like-minded people and hearing the same stories, the same insecurities, the same, and actually learning the way out of those places of habit of talking down to ourselves.
And recognizing that they're just, that more often than not they're lies.
Yeah.
That's it's not true that actually that they are very good, but it's just getting beyond that.
Well, you were saying that when you first started being part of Facebook groups, like cake making Facebook groups, that you were just blown away by both the skill and the disparity between what people actually did and how they talked about what they did.
Yeah. I think so. We've generally
because Phil at that point was just stepping into a fairly female-centric world as well that he hadn't really been part of before. So it was when he came out of the group chat or whatever, he'd come through and he'd be like, why are they like this? So would you want to speak to that? Sorry.
Well, I think it is those two things that really struck me. One was the standard of work that is out there just being made day in, day out by cake makers across the UK is extraordinary. There's nobody necessarily celebrating them for what they're doing, but they're just out there and they're making people's parties and celebrations just that bit more amazing. And the standard of work was just mind blowing. And then, but equally, just a huge amount of self doubt of, you know, just not valuing their time. Lots of questions about pricing where, you know, I couldn't possibly ask for, you know, anything more than £50 for a cake. And I'm just sitting there thinking, gosh, if you spent a day making a cake, you really shouldn't be charging anything less than 150 quid for it, because mm-hmm. you've got your time, you've got your ingredients, you've got your overheads. I think all it did was just kind of confirm to us the need for support, the need for encouragement. And, you know, and it's not like we've got it all together.
No.
Not by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, you know, so when Christine was listing the topics that we're talking about, I'm interested to go to all of those. Because we're there to learn as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
We're not. So when it says the cake professionals, that's not talking about us. We have arrived. Come join us. It's not what this is about.
No,
it's about
naming the group.
Yes, and that we are, and owning that actually, that we are professionals.
Yeah,
and I think that was
one of the
really big moments from last year. Was we had a speaker come in who basically made us just own the fact that we were cake professionals, and that is what we did, and to be able to say that out loud with confidence.
Yeah,
repeatedly. and interesting, I've had three or four people come back to me saying just how powerful that was. Just to own the fact that I'm a businesswoman or a businessman, and that this is a legitimate business, and that I'm worth my money, is a really powerful message.
Yeah.
And just to speak those words over yourself, speak those words over other cake makers, it's great.
Yeah, it felt like like some sort of sea change. It felt like the tide shifted a little bit, and I'd like a little bit more of that.
The cake professionals is really us getting the pom-poms out and cheering on the world of cake. I think that's probably the briefest way of saying it.
Those of you who are actually working on a project right now, you're deep into it, you're working really hard, I want you to pause for a second. I want you to sit back, close your eyes, take a deep breath. No, come on, do this with me now. Sit back, close your eyes, deep breath. Working really hard. Stuff may not always be going well. Maybe stuff is going great. Whatever's happening, I want you now to slowly open your eyes and look at what you've made. Okay, maybe it's still got some problems. Maybe you're not done. Look at what you've made. You're so good at this. You are going to rock this cake. You are so amazing, and I have faith that you're going to get this done and everyone's going to love it.
so that's the awards as well. You know, we've started the awards to recognise the day-to-day work that cake makers do.
Yeah, the everyday genius. Because I think that so often, you know, we put such pressure on ourselves, and we know we do too, to do amazing competition pieces. But what we're doing on a daily basis is as worth celebrating as new techniques and inventions and, you know, something that's taken us, you know, a month to complete. What's happening on the day-to-day that's actually making people's lives better and happier and memories sweeter, like, that feels like something that ought to not just be shoved under the carpet and, like, not as good. It's the guts of what we do.
Oh, absolutely.
It is absolutely, like, the hallmark of a cake maker is to make cake for people to eat. And so we want to celebrate that. That's not less than a competition. It's just a different way of appreciating the skills that we have.
And it is exciting to see, you know, so in terms of the awards, as we speak, the national winner is being chosen as we speak for the best cake in the UK. So we already know who the category winners are for, you know, the small wedding cake and the large wedding cake. But the cakes that I see in there are cakes that I recognise as, that's the stuff that we do.
Yeah.
That's not a showpiece that's been, you know, 7 weeks has been spent on. This is a cake that's been made, you know, probably over 3 or 4 days, and it's going out to customer, and they look amazing.
Yeah.
But they also look attainable.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like.
And they're still uniquely designed and beautifully crafted and fabulously baked and beautifully personalized. All of those things are happening, and that is so worth celebrating. And last week? When were we in London with?
Last week.
Will, we were in London last week doing the bake category. And we had just the most amazing set of pastry chefs and cake champions sitting down with us, and they tasted all the cakes in sort of silent reverence.
They were really concentrated.
Each cake got its full, you know, moment of fame, of quiet contemplation and tasting and note writing, and then discuss each one. And so Will Torrent was heading up that team with Cherish Finden from Bake Off the Professionals, and Catherine Cuthbertson, the Queen's pastry chef of 15 years, didn't she? And also Sarah Franklin. Who was last year's pastry chef of the year. So, I mean, just incredible people giving their time and expertise to review, assess, and really then championing the best flavors that we have had submitted. And yeah, it was just super exciting to be part of that and just think, gosh, this is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Because it is about cake at the end of the day.
it's that good tasting cake. So the awards celebration is in the evening after the conference, and we're going to find out who's won these national awards. And there's some big ass prizes. You know, there's the overall winner for the cake category will walk away with £1,500. And
wow.
You know, we intentionally have, this is a lot of the money that is coming into the awards is going out in terms of prizes and in terms of promotion, because what we want is for it to actually make a difference to a cake maker.
Yeah.
And actually a couple of hundred quid, while that's lovely, is probably one cake order, you know, one ingredients order. So we want the prizes to be things that will really help a cake maker. You know, they might buy a really amazing mixer. They might get a complete redesign of their website. They might, you know, it's enough money that you could actually go and do something really substantial.
That makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Or buy yourself a really, don't know.
Or go on holiday.
Go on holiday. Yeah, have a rest.
To have a weekend away.
Buy a year of massage therapy.
or physio.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is that makes a difference to your actual life.
Yeah.
And I think, it's been amazing having people step in with us. So Tate and Lyle are sponsoring that awards overall. And they were there with us in London throughout the tastings, because they also sponsored the bake category. And just to know that the person who wins the best bake of the year walks away with £1,000, like for making a cake and sending it in. Like, so these are not small prizes, and we wanted them to actually have impact in the businesses that they're landing into, as well as the, you know, the commendations and the bronzes and the silvers and the golds and the regional awards. Like, people are walking away with something that will make a difference to them locally as they do their work and their business. Because people deserve to be celebrated. Mm.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. So yes.
A big shout out to our sponsors, actually, because without them, I know people always say this, but it's actually literally true. This would not happen without.
No.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
And Vanilla Valley and Fractal and Chibu's Cake Carriers
and Profroster
Renshaw, and Fractal. Trying to hear, have I covered everybody there? I want to make sure I have. Also, our partnership with Cake Decoration Sugarcraft. I'm naming all these people because they are the ones who are making this happen. We're obviously,
they have put money where their mouth is and said, absolutely, we want to support bakers and cake makers across this nation. Yeah, and they're not standing by and hoping for the best. They're actually putting money down and making it happen.
And they've jumped in year one.
Yeah, and actually that
means
a lot.
We went knocking on their door and saying,
we've got this idea.
Would you give us money? And they, and actually what came back from them to a person really was a desire to celebrate and support cake makers, and that was a genuine, sincere, they were excited about it, and I was really encouraged by that, actually.
Amazing.
So it all happens March 2nd. We will find out who all the category winners are, and then we've got cake business of the year, baker of the year, and cake of the year. And that's going to be super exciting.
And then the cake of the year designer is going to be flown out to Spain with Cakeflix, and they're going to do a tutorial out there on a fabulous trip.
That's amazing.
And get their amazing skills seen by the world of cake.
Which is why I've awarded myself.
I wish.
I do actually know of a company who I will not name who was asked to run a architectural competition to choose a design for a building, and at the end of the competition they said that nobody had quite met the standard, and oddly enough they awarded themselves the contract 3 months later.
Cheeky.
And then they got sued.
Unsurprising. No, I think it's been really key in the whole awards thing that it's just riddled with integrity. So we will not. Yes, we did have a snaffle of some crumbs after the judges have had their say.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant.
So all the judging is blind. So the judges don't know who the cake makers are. Mm-hmm. And the baking judges, so everything is anonymized. And actually, if they do recognise the cake, they need to declare that as a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
So we want it to be really clear how it's judged.
Yeah, and just clean.
And particularly, if you've paid to enter, you have the right to have your entry treated in exactly the same way as the person down the road. There shouldn't be any, bias in there. So
it's not about how many followers you have or how many people vote or any of that. It's just on the credibility and the amazingness of your designs and bakes.
And that's what excites me about the awards, is who is going to be the winner. And
yeah, because we have no idea.
My suspicion is that there probably will be some names that people recognise, but there will also be some names that nobody's ever heard of before.
But they're gutsy
and they're awesome.
And they're brave, and they've gone in year one with,
Getting all excited.
Oh, yeah, we're very excited. I haven't even got a dress yet, Phil. Oh, there's a lot to do, but I think the dress is at the bottom of the list.
A lot to do, absolutely.
Well, gosh. Obviously, entries have long closed now, but if someone's listening to this when it airs on February 13th, can they still buy tickets to the conference? And then how do they enter next year?
Ooh, good question.
So, yes, you can buy tickets for the awards up till a week before the event. So that will be like the 24th of February or something like that. So you can buy tickets for the conference and the awards up to that point, and then we need to give the venue numbers.
The awards celebration.
The awards celebration and also the conference. So there are two separate events. You can buy combined tickets at a discount, or you can go to one or the other.
And it's in Reading at the Reading Majeski Stadium.
Yeah. And you can just go onto the Cake Professionals website, which is thecakeprofessionals.com, and it has all the links for you to buy tickets for the conference and tickets for the awards.
And tickets are restricted because we're more interested in connection than in a crowd, so we've restricted the number of tickets to 150 people. So if there are tickets left, jump in and grab one while you can.
Got it.
And in terms of the awards next year, they will open. We haven't set the opening dates yet, but probably in September, which is when we ran them last time. And all the details will be on the website. We'll obviously publicize it.
And it'll be people can enter any cake design that they've made within the year of the awards. So it's not like backdated. This is about present day cake work.
Yeah, so it'll be the best cake that you've made in essentially in 2020.
And they submit pictures for the design categories and just upload them online.
Yeah, so you don't need to make anything new for the awards. It literally is, what did you make this year? What did you sell to your customers?
Yeah, there's no additional work.
Yeah, and then the baking category, you send in your bakes early in 2021, but you'll sign up in September, and the business awards, you fill in the form and submit it, and that's where you do that.
Yeah, we're trying to reduce the workload and just celebrate the work that's already been done.
That's amazing.
None of us have any more work to do.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's something I talk about on the podcast a lot. Well, what you're saying, that cakers make something that's the most important thing in someone's most important day.
Yeah, exactly.
And that needs to be honored. I mean, I compete. I don't sell very much. I set my prices so high so no one will order because I'm too busy doing other things. So if someone wants to... Well, I just said my minimum. I looked around, basically, because pricing is that eternal question. I looked around. I could see, but, a lot of people around here are charging £50 for a cake. I'm like, right, my base is 75, and that doesn't get you any decorations. That's just fondant on a cake. You want more? It's going to go up. Because I honestly just don't have time for a lot of orders, and I'm technically not licensed by Cambridge to do more than one a month anyway. I could, but I'm not pursuing that. So,
yeah.
But I have done someone's most important cake. I've done someone's first cake, and I've done someone's last cake, and I mean, really, that's a story I can tell. I've told other people that a friend of a friend asked for a holy hand grenade, Monty Python holy hand grenade, and he was dying of cancer, and he said that was the best cake of his life. I mean, it just gets you right here. That's it's important. It was just a chocolate cake, but it was an important cake. And obviously, wedding cakes, that's someone's big day. People live their whole lives waiting for their wedding cake.
So it better be a good one.
Yeah.
So it is important what we do. It's not just cake. It's important.
It's not.
It is people being seen and heard and celebrated. That's what cake is, and it just comes in the medium of something lovely and edible. But it means a lot, and that's I think the thing that we find most satisfying is getting feedback from clients.
You got me.
And there's so much room for so much expression, because especially it doesn't have to be white on white cake, but some people want a white on white cake, and a lot of groom's cakes really can take things to crazy town with hobbies and preferences. I mean, there's so much room in what we do for so much artistry, and yet it does come down to that basic of it has to be a good cake.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that constant stupid thing we get where people say, well, must not taste very good. I mean, I've had a thing now. I will block someone on Facebook if a cake, I call them muggles, people who aren't in the cake world. If the cake muggle comes onto my thing where I've shared someone's beautiful cake and they say, oh, I bet it doesn't taste good, I'm like, bye. Why would you assume that? It's an awful thing we have to combat. So I love that you have this thing that's celebrating all the nitty-gritty aspects of the reality of it.
And I don't think there is an award out there for custom cake makers that actually looks at taste just on its own. And I think that was really important for us because there is that sort of urban myth or the reputation that good-looking cake doesn't taste great. And we'd like to just nix that and make that go
away.
Yeah.
I mean, the Extreme Cake Makers does, I haven't watched every episode, but the ones I've seen, it always ends with people going, oh, and it tastes good too. Wow. And I know so many of you doing it. I'm kind of sitting there watching going, of course it tastes good. They're professionals. Like, you wouldn't stay in business if your cake wasn't any good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You're only as good as your last cake, and you live off repeat orders. You know, those are the very best is when customers come back again and again and again, and they'll only do it if it was a great tasting cake. So super important.
And I think a lot of people who think they know how to make cakes, but don't, like, they're not cakers. They're, you know, just home. I don't even say home baker, because that still implies just someone in their kitchen, and they look at our prices and they say, oh, that's too high, I can make my own. First of all, my answer is go for it, because you'll be calling us later. And secondly, is I keep noticing that when I make cakes, even if it's for my WI, if it's for my friend, an actual paid order I had in October, they're kind of blown away by the flavor. And it's really basic stuff. Like, I used a simple syrup. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I just, because my friend wanted a Victoria sponge cake, which I'd actually never made. I usually make chocolate, and I hadn't made a British Victoria sponge. So I looked up, I'm like, oh, okay, this is a pound cake. I know what pound cake is. And I made one according to the BBC recipe, and I'm like, this has no flavor. So then I made it again, and I just put a vanilla simple syrup on it. I'm like, yeah, okay, this is good. And they were like, this is the best cake we've ever had. Her uncle comes up to me and says, I'm 82. I've never had a cake this good. I'm thinking, dude, that's sad. This is really basic. I said thank you, but like, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, absolutely. Take it for sure. And get them to send that recommendation onto your website or your Facebook page or whatever as well.
That's right, Mom, but I don't want cake orders, so I'm not going to.
So, yes, a busy year ahead of us with all that's going on. But
yes, and running our own business at the same time. Yes. So that's fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll sleep in January.
No, you won't. You've gone and started a cake show.
January's funny. It sort of lulls you into a false sense of it's going to be quiet, and then it just mashes you over the head with busy. So at least that's how January has felt. But it's been a good one so far, with a little bit of tiny bit of filming for Channel 5 as well.
New cake program coming out on Channel 5 in, I think, sometime around about Easter, which we've filmed. I think they just have one. They have lots. They go to factories, and they, you know, there's lots of other bits and pieces they do in it. It's an hour long, but they have one custom cake maker per episode. So it'd be fun to see, because it was filmed in a very different way than the Extreme Cake Makers show. So I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
Mm.
Are you allowed to say a title yet?
I don't know.
Okay,
yeah,
then we won't. That's fine.
You're on the side of caution there.
Literally, I'm in the middle of interviewing, in the middle of editing my interview with Reeva Alexander Hawk, and part of what we talk about are the NDAs and how not to get Food Network mad at you, and just the people, again, people who've never been on TV thinking that, oh, it's just awesome that people come film you and everything's great, and not understanding the background of production and the pitfalls and how you can dig yourself in a hole if you use logos you're not allowed to use and things like that.
Yeah, so we had when we went to Toronto, we had the lovely Natalie Porter with us as well as part of our team. And it was a studio-based competition thing for Food Network. And there was a lot of what they called greeking, which is when they stick tape over every single logo that you possibly have.
They also stuck it over the description of the contents of the bottle, so I now can't tell what any of my airbrush colours are.
Oh, that's so mean.
Yeah, the joys of TV is a funny thing.
Did it come off at least? Did the tape come off?
With the label, yep.
Oh, man. Oh, no, I'm like cringing. You can't see me cringing, but I'm because it's like that meme that goes around about the kid who's peeled off all the tins in the cupboard.
Yes, it's one of those moments where you're reaching for it and it looks brown, I think.
Yeah, but dark pink looks brown, so...
It does, yes.
I'm looking at my Americolors right now, and I couldn't... If you took the labels off, I... No, that's a nightmare. That's horrifying.
It is a bit.
Yes, I'm navigating it, but it's I always test the airbrush off the cake.
Well, yes,
to make sure what I'm spraying onto it is brown and not pink, as you say. So yeah.
That is
anyway, speaking of which, we need to crack on with the orders for this this week.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thanks very much for being on, and I will make sure all of your social media and website links and everything are in the show notes. So if anyone wants to get involved, sign up for the Cake Professionals mailing list, all that stuff, they can do that.
Thank you so much, Kim.
That's super kind.
Much
thank
appreciated.
You.
It was lovely chatting to you.
I'm so excited that you've been on. Thanks so much.
All right. Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
And since 2020 is the year of Reva, here's Reva Alexander Hawk with some bonus wise words for all of you cake pros out there.
If you don't like the customers you have for your wedding cakes, seek the customers you want. Make those cakes that you want to make, take pictures of them, post them. Those will draw the customers in for the cakes that you want to make. Simple as that. Why is it, or how is it, that we can find just about anything to complain about when it comes to the cake world? People aren't happy with the orders they get. People aren't happy with the judges they have. It's cake. It's just cake.
Do you want to share your own wise words with our audience? Simply leave me voicemail on Messenger and I'll put it on the show.
It's the year of Reva!
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it. Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
To actually say the number as it should be,
yeah,
as opposed to what you think they might accept.